by us a lesson on a magnet and what it does. The next day, in her written class, she included this question. My full name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? When all the test papers were turned in, the teacher was amazed to find that almost half of the students answered the question with one word, mother, instead of magnet. You understand? I pick things up. That was cute. Mom and Dad were watching TV, and Mom said, you know, I'm tired. It's getting late. I think I'll go to bed. So she went to the kitchen to make sandwiches for the next day's lunches. She took meat out of the freezer for dinner the following evening. She checked the cereal box levels, filled the sugar container, put spoons and bowls on the table, and started the coffee pot for brewing the next morning. She then put some wet clothes in the dryer and put a load of clothes into the washer, ironed a shirt, and secured a loose button. She picked up the game pieces left on the table and put the telephone book back into the drawer. She watered the plants, emptied the wastebasket, and hung up a towel to dry. She yawned and stretched and headed for the bedroom. She stopped by the desk and wrote a note to one of the teachers, counted out some cash for the field trip, and pulled a textbook out from hiding under a chair. She signed a birthday card for a friend, addressed and stamped the envelope, and wrote a quick reminder for the grocery store. She put both near her purse. Mom then washed her face with a cleanser and put on a night solution, an age-fighting moisturizer, brushed her teeth, and clipped and filed her nails. Dad called out, I thought you were going to bed. Oh, I'm on my way, she said. She put some water in the dog's dish and put the cat outside, then made sure the doors were locked. She looked in on each one of the kids and turned out their bedside lamps, hung up a shirt, threw some dirty socks into the hamper, and had a brief conversation with the child still up doing his homework. In the bedroom, she set the alarm, laid out her clothing for the next day, straightened up the shoe rack. She added three things to her 10 most important things to do list. She opened her Bible, read her chapter in Proverbs, prayed about tomorrow, and thanked God for a good day. Oh, about that time, Dad turned off the TV and announced to no one in particular, I'm going to bed, and he did. That's a mother. You see the difference? A mom was putting her son to bed on the eve of his fifth birthday. She tried to communicate what this birthday idea meant. Kevin, she said, this is the last night of your fourth year. Do you understand that? Kevin was ready to communicate with his hands. For a full year, he had shown people four fingers for his 4 years, and now he was ready to add his thumb. Seeing his four fingers, his mother nodded and said, when you go to sleep tonight, you'll still be 4 years old. But do you know how old you'll be in the morning when you wake up? Kevin nodded enthusiastically, added his thumb to his four little fingers, and said, tomorrow I'll be a handful. Praise the Lord. Amen. There are two people in the scripture we're going to look at in 2 Kings chapter 4 this morning. A great prophet and a great woman. This great prophet's name was Elisha. He was a man of God. He had been with Elijah. He had learned under him. He had walked with him. He had prayed with him. He had been the one when Elijah was caught away, when he was raptured. Elisha had prayed out, God, give me a double portion of what this man had. And he got it. The times were hard. There was a famine in the land. The kings weren't doing very well in their leadership. And this man of God gave that nation hope and direction from God through those hard times. But there was also a great woman. She was not great because of her name. She didn't have a special name that was on everybody's tongue. She's actually not named in your Bible. And this is very important. You may feel like nobody knows me. God does. Nobody recognizes me. God will. And this woman is unnamed. She is called the Shunammite woman. That's all we know about her. But God says, instead of naming her Mary Lisa or Bertha, I don't know. Instead of naming her, he calls her great. I think that's a good substitute, amen? He calls her a great woman. She's not great because of her name. She's not great because of her money or her abilities, but because of special characteristics that every woman in here should want, especially mothers. I want to honor the mothers in our church this morning. by learning from a great woman. She's the only woman in the entire Bible who is called great. Wouldn't you agree we all need good examples? I mean, if you're watching Homer Simpson, you're going to have a messed up home. Amen. If that thing is on in your home, you got to realize that is influencing your kids. It is influencing your wife. It definitely is influencing your husband. We need good role models. We need great examples to help us. Well, here's one for you. As a matter of fact, the Bible is full of amazing mothers, amazing women. I told you about Jesus having a great mother. I read about Moses, how he had an awesome mom. Against all odds, when they were trying to commit genocide against an entire nation and kill and post-birth abortions in trying to kill off an entire, the males of the Jewish society, Moses' mom said, not this baby, amen? And I appreciate moms like that. Hannah was an amazing mother. Solomon had an amazing mother who came from such spiritual defeat. She was part and parcel with backing away from her godly husband Uriah and having this one night fling with the King David. And in that ruin and in that destruction, she became a great mom in spite of her past. Thank God for that. God can still forgive and God can still make someone great. Your past doesn't determine your future. God does. Amen. Let him determine it. John the Baptist had a great mom. Her name was Elizabeth. She believed God. She had been praying for a child even though it was impossible. And the list would go on. So this morning I want to see what makes a person, especially a woman, great in God's sight. You see, the great truth is this. And it's always out of order. I don't know. The great truth is this, that our world does not need great economists. Our world does not need great doctors. Our world does not need great politicians. Our world needs great mothers. That's what we need once again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, please help me to help and encourage and bless the moms. They got their hands full. And a lot of times they get discouraged thinking that all is lost and our efforts aren't paying off, but they are. The moment we release our grip on what is right and on what is important and what has to be fought for, the moment we release our grip on that is the moment everything falls apart. God, encourage all of our moms this morning and encourage all of us to encourage our moms and our wives that they are great and they can be truly great in God's eyes. This is not an impossible message that has impossible expectations. This is a very practical message, Lord. Make it a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want to say that made this woman great, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4 and let's pick up in verse 9. Actually, start in verse 8. And I want you to see something about this woman. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Notice this. There was this great woman that lived there. And she constrained him. She stopped him. And she compelled him to eat bread there in her home. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. She said to her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, a flat, we would call it, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither and he'll be able to stay there. And it fell on a day that he came thither and he saw it and he turned into the chamber and lay there. Now, without going into the story, we're going to see some tremendous and traumatic things that happen in the life of this great prophet and this great woman. And really, we're not going to focus on the greatness of the prophet this morning. We're going to talk about the greatness of this woman. And the first thing that marks her as great is her kindness. Her kindness. Elisha is a traveling preacher. He covered hundreds of miles by foot, usually every month. He would go from place to place, preaching in every village, encouraging folks, teaching them God's way. He actually, there were several what they called Bible colleges, where they had the school of the prophets. People who felt God had called them to preach. And he would go and he'd spend several days with them, teaching them, praying with them, encouraging them as well. He had a very busy schedule as he traveled around on this circuit. And he would regularly travel by this little home in Shunem. It was owned by a man and his wife. And the husband was a very busy man. And that's a good thing. You don't find him greeting Elisha. You find the husband out in the field. He's working the field. He is harvesting. He's got a lot of work that he's doing. The wife being home sees this man of God always walking by. She sees and she knows because he would go to nearby. There was a place called Carmel, and everybody would go and hear him preach, and everybody would go and hear him pray, and they would get encouraged by him. But he would pass right by their house. And his wife wanted to be a blessing. And I can't emphasize that enough. There's nothing more special to me than when somebody just wants to do something for me. Isn't that true in your life? They just come along and say, man, I just want to do this for you. And you go, wow, it's kindness. That's what it's called. And she was great. First off, God points out her kindness to the pastor. First, she refuses. I mean, you got to, or somebody invites you for dinner and maybe you don't know them. You're not sure what to expect. And you definitely don't want to impose yourself. He definitely must have been Irish because she had to compel him. Amen. I have not met anybody yet except John that if I say, here, would you like to do this? Only John will go, yeah. Here, would you like to eat this? Sure. Everybody else says, no, I'm fine. And they're starving. They're starving. And I go, why did you just say yes? I like John. John just says, I'm starving. He says, oh, come on in. I wouldn't have asked if I didn't want you there. You understand what I'm saying? Some people say, oh, don't put yourself out. I'm not putting myself out. I am now. Get over here, amen. But Elisha says, no, I've got to be on my way. And she wants to be a blessing. She got a blessing out of giving. Do you ever do that? Do you ever get a blessing out of doing something special just for somebody and getting nothing in return except being a blessing? There's a blessing in being a blessing. Amen? Greatness begins with the giving of ourselves. Our children don't want our money. Our children want us. Amen? Our wives may want our money. But probably they like us. Do you understand? She was a blessing. She had an open home. I believe she had this attitude not only with the man of God. I bet there's several people who felt welcome in her home. She had an open home because she got a thrill out of being a blessing. She wanted him to come for a meal, but the woman wanted more. She wanted to do more. There were no hotels. There might be an inn in one of the villages, but the little village of Shunem probably did not have an inn. The man of God, Elisha, and any traveler would have to just keep traveling to get someplace, no matter how late it was, no matter how tired they were. You couldn't just stop. And if you did, you'd be sleeping out in the open. So she has an idea. She says, let's build a small flat just for him. And she says to her husband, she says, verse 10, she says, let's make a little chamber. I'm not going to make a huge house. This isn't a mansion. This is a small flat on the wall. Now, if you understand that you've got a house and you've got an inner garden and you've got a wall there, and instead of attaching it to the house, she attached it to the wall. She's very, very careful in her planning. She says, I want him to know that he can come and go and not have to worry about interfering with our life. I want to leave it by the wall so that he can come through the door at the wall. And if he needs to, he can go and we won't bother him and he won't bother us. But I want to be a blessing. Isn't that cool? Isn't that thoughtful? And the idea pleased her husband and they built it. It was a simple flat. It had a bed, it had a table, it had a stool. It wasn't the most beautiful, posh, opulent room. It was a very simple room. And it had a lamp. It was, and you know what's funny? It blessed Elisha. When he went there, he went, this for me? Thank you. You know, it's just something wonderful about giving. When somebody knows you're just doing it out of your heart, it's perfect. I've gotten some weird ties. But you know what? When somebody has gotten me a tie or my kids have bought me a gift, you know what I usually say? That's just what I wanted. Because I knew it came from their heart. Amen? And Elisha's not looking for anything big. because he knew that she just wanted to be a blessing. It blessed Elisha. And he had a faithful servant named Gehazi. Now, I want you to understand, she didn't want to get anything back. She wasn't doing this to get. Do you understand? She got a blessing out of being a blessing. Amen. That's a mom. Guys do it for the benefit. That's what a guy is wired for. That's how economies are built. We build because we want something to show for our work. A woman gives and doesn't mind not getting anything out of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're wired differently. But I want to say something else. God was going to bless her anyway. Did you know that? She wasn't looking for a blessing, but oh, God's going to bless her. Thank God for mothers, because they usually are kind by nature. And that's what makes you great. Secondly, she's great because of the desire that she had. Look at verse 12. Now, look in verse 11. It fell on the day that he came thither. He came to the house and he turned into the chamber and he lay there. And he's like, I can see him there. He's laying there. This is so cool. I don't have to walk another 20 miles before I can rest. I can rest right here. And verse 12, and he says to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto his servant, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us. You cared about us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? How can we repay you? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? Now, just stopping there, I want you to understand, Elisha wanted to be a blessing back. You know, if we got this habit where if somebody did something for you and you said, man, that was a blessing. I want to be a blessing to somebody else. I got a blessing out of somebody being a blessing to me. I want the blessing of being a blessing. We would freak out. With everybody just trying to be a blessing to one another, amen? It's a whole lot better than cursing and tearing and biting one another apart, amen? So he says, man, I just want to be a blessing back. It did something for him, and he says, I want to be a blessing back. And it is a good thing when somebody does something nice for you, it's good for you to go, man, I need to do something for them. That's just common courtesy, amen? Don't only be a taker. Elisha was not. Elisha asked Gehazi to go and see what this woman would like. Do you want honor from the king? Do you want a promotion? Do you want a government job? Do you want a protection from the enemy? Again, he says, wouldest thou be spoken to the king? You want me to go and get you a job, get your husband a job for the king? Or you want me to talk to the captain of the host? Maybe you've got a problem with a neighbor, a bad neighbor. I'll get the general in here and he'll take care of your neighbor. This wonderful wife didn't want anything. Look what she says. She says, verse 13, I dwell among my own people. That's a very simple thing. She says, I'm happy here. We don't need a promotion. We don't need a new house. I don't need a new chariot. I just need new plumbing, maybe. She's just happy there. She was content, and that was a great way to live. True and real hospitality gives and seeks nothing in return. And that's what God honors. And believe me, if you want God to bless your life, just be a blessing. Don't try and manipulate. Ladies, I'll tell you something about humanity in the 21st century. We are manipulators. And too many times we do things for somebody in order to get them to do something for us. Don't do that. Because God says, if you want me to bless you, like God is about to, if you want God to bless you, just give. Just be a blessing. Do something for somebody else, whether they ever recognize it or not. Because God honors that. Now, I'm going to talk about a secret desire that she has here. She had everything she wanted. She had a husband and she loved him. She had a home. She had God. She loved God and worshipped Him faithfully. She had her people. She had family all around her, and she had good neighbors. And believe me, if you've got that, you're a rich person. Constantly, constantly, our modern age is full of complaining. And this woman says, I live among my people. We're fine. I don't need anything. And Elijah knows that God wants to honor this woman's kindness, and he presses for a way to bless her. Watch this. There in verse 14, and he said, what then is to be done for her? What can we do for her? Verse 14, and Gehazi answered, fairly, I've noticed she has no child and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her and stood in the door again, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, that would be 9 months, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." These are incredible words. She's just saying, "Don't fool me. Don't play with me. Don't get my hopes up, mister." Do you understand what she's saying? She's saying, "I believe God. I trust you. Don't play with this heart of mine." You know what it says? Verse 17, "And the woman conceived and bare a son," just like he said, "at the season Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life." This is amazing. This is absolutely amazing. This woman, you may not realize it, she says, "I have enough. I have just, I'm fine. I have no complaints, no murmurs." But God knew she had a secret desire. She wanted to be a mother. That's sweet. This woman secretly, deep down in her heart, wanted to be a mom. You know, it's still an honor to be a mom. I think it's a great, 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 great thing to be a mom. Amen. I don't want to be one, but I think it's a great one. Great thing to be a mom. I know what I put my mom through, so no, I don't want to be a mom. For many years, this woman had a desire to be a mom. But it was evident that she and her husband could not have children. And now they were old. I think she probably had even given up praying for a baby. But you know what? God had not forgotten. I love how when the angel appears to Elizabeth and to Zechariah, he talks to Zechariah. He says, "Zechariah, you and your wife's prayers have been heard." Now, he was an old man. He didn't have a child. And the Lord said, "I heard your prayers." And I'm sure he said, "I haven't prayed that in 20 years. The Lord said, "But I wrote it down. And today I'm going to honor that prayer." I want you to understand, sometimes, ladies, don't you give up. Don't you say, "Why do I pray? It's not happening." God says, "I'm still going to do it." And when it does happen, you're going to wish you prayed more so that you got more excited. Amen. Elisha could have put a good word in for this woman and her husband at the royal court of the king Jehu, who was the king of the time. But you know what? Instead, he put a good word in the court of heaven. His prayer. And don't ever take it lightly when somebody says, "I'll pray for you. I know you're going through something, and I will pray God's blessing and God's help. Because I would rather the court of heaven hear my problem than the four courts up there in Dublin." Amen. Amen. She was great because she had a desire, and nobody else knew it. Nobody knew it. But Gehazi says, "You know, I noticed there are no kids. There's no teenagers. There's no grandbabies running around." And Elisha said, "That's it." And as soon as she came in, he said, "You're going to have a boy in 9 months." God honors women who honor him. And he will do the impossible. He always does. Amen. And that little desire, you have any little desires? I'm not talking about great ones. I'm not talking about big ones. I'm talking about the ones you gave up on. Ladies, do you have any? I bet you do. You know what God says? "I pay attention to every groan. I keep every tear that you shed in a bottle. I know what you not want. I know what you desire." You know what? When you're just a blessing, God says, "I'll bless you back." Amen? Let's go on. She was great because of her faith. Now, look in verse 18. Here in verse 18. "And when the child was grown," now she's got this baby. And I want to say this before I read anything here. This is going to be the trying of her faith. There is no greatness without real faith. Oh, we can talk about Alexander the Great. What an audacious term. You know, don't call me Alexander the Great, sir. You know, there are all kinds of great people, and look at how many people they slaughter. There are people who try to be great leaders and great conquerors. But when God points out great, it's because of faith. Remember the woman, the Canaanite woman who came to Jesus and disciples? And she said these words, "Lord, I'll just take the crumbs." Remember that? When Jesus had said, "Nope, it doesn't belong to you Gentiles. It belongs to the children, my miracles and my help belongs to the children of Israel." And she says, "But we dogs will take the crumbs from the children's table. You know what he says to that woman? Oh, woman, great is thy faith. He looks for faith. Does he see any in you? Or does he see bitterness? Does he see defeat and anger? Does he see complaining? Or does he see faith? She was great because of her faith. I want to say this. She does not have this great faith where she leaps over tall buildings. She's not going from success to success. If you have great faith, believe me, it will be tested. And her faith is about to be tried and tested. It says right here in verse 18, when the child was grown, he's about 12 years old at this point, it fell in a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. It's harvest time. It's the busiest time of the year. And while he's out there, he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then tragically died. Now, you may not see faith here, but I want you to see this is because of faith. You've got to understand, faith is not somebody standing up. I have great faith. Faith is not something that you put on an act. If you have faith, it will be tested. Do you understand? If you can get this truth, you'll start to reevaluate how strong is your faith. Your faith does not exist unless it's being stretched, unless it's being used, and unless it is a shield against whatever's coming at you. Amen? Do you understand? Faith isn't a creed. It's not a list of things we believe. It's the things that motivate us to go forward no matter what happens because of what we believe. And this woman has great faith because she is tested greatly. The young lad has grown up. He's probably around 12 or 13 in his harvest time. It's the busiest time of the year. And for the first time, this young boy is allowed to go out into the fields and work alongside his daddy. It was work day with daddy. And oh, how proud they both must have been. And there were hundreds of workers cutting down the barley and the wheat stalks, binding them, sifting them, sorting them, and storing them away for the winter. And as the sun was rising in that fall heat, it would beat down on all those workers, and the sun collapses, grabbing his head, possibly it's sunstroke. He'd never done this before. Possibly it's an aneurysm. Thank you. We don't know. Probably it's just too much work for a young boy. He's probably working to try to keep up with daddy. He's been busy at home, but now he gets to be with daddy and maybe the heat and everything all together. And it all comes against him. Now, the father sees him crying out, my head, I'm sure the dad had plenty of headaches. And he says, send him back to his mom. He's not ready yet for the work. He's not concerned by him, amen? You know how men are. I'm a dad. The kid comes home, he's got blood coming out of the knee. I say, I'll put a Band-Aid on it, amen? We just don't really worry about the mom, especially if it's the first kid. Amen? Dad says, send him home to his mother. And he gets back to busy. Do you fault the dad? No, don't fault the dad here. All right? They're all busy. He doesn't think that the kid's going to die. I don't believe the mom believed that he was going to die. I bet she put him in his arms and she began to rock him. And she said, just a little rest will help you. And while she's rocking and cuddling this 10, 11, 12-year-old boy, he stops breathing. And he dies. And in her arms, her faith, it seems to have died too. But I wanted to show you it didn't. I mean, how would you react? One moment you're holding your son and he's complaining about a splitting headache and he can't see. He can't talk. He's shivering. He's shaking and you're holding and trying to comfort him. You think maybe he just worked too much. Maybe the sunstroke got to you. And then he stops and he dies. You know, I appreciate a Bible that tells me about the bad times in life. It tells me about the rough times. It tells me don't expect everything to go smooth sailing when you follow Jesus. Sometimes a life of faith is tough. Amen. The world falls out from under her feet. Her blessing, her God-given thrill and joy was now gone. How should she react? How would you react? This child was a miracle child. It was a promised child. She didn't demand of God. I know a lot of people who demand just like Rachel did. Rachel said to Jacob, she said, give me a son or I'll die. That's a pretty bad thing to ask, amen? This was something where she didn't go asking for anything, and God was just blessing her, and she said, this is a gift from God. This is God in my life, and now it's gone. You ever been there? You ever had something that just was so good in your life, and then it was disappeared? Ripped away from this world. But aren't you glad that wasn't the end of the story? Amen? It's not the end of the book. This woman has such a great faith. You know what God likes? He likes faith. He just loves faith. He'd rather faith than performance. He'd rather faith than perfection. He'd rather faith than etiquette and professionalism and accomplishment. All he wants is for you to believe him and to trust him. And she does. Because look at what happens. She was great because of what I'm calling her determination. Look at verse 21. And I I put this too far down. It should have been up. But the truth is, our world doesn't need great economists or great doctors. And they're calling for it. I read there, what's this guy over in Europe, the EU economy advisor to EU? He says, we need a supervision for the economy. We need new bank controls. I mean, they're saying it over and over. But you know what he said? He said, I think all we have is a sugar high. Are you listening? All of this money is coming into the economies, and when it runs out, it'll be like having 4 or 5 Kit Kats. You know what happens after you get that high? And we haven't seen what's going to happen yet in the future. I think I'll get real close to the Lord and just follow him and just ride out the storm in the ark. Amen? Listen to me. We don't need great doctors. We don't need great politicians. Amen? We need some great women. And this woman was great because of her determination. Watch this in verse 21. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. And she shut the door upon him and she went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. Does she tell him about the son dying? No. She just says, get me one of the young men and give me a donkey. I got to go talk to the preacher. Verse 23. And he said, wherefore, why wilt thou go to him today? It's neither new moon, that's when we normally meet, nor on a Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Don't worry about it. Then she saddled an ass, said to her servant, drive and go forward. I like that word. Drive means make that donkey fly. Amen. And go forward. I bet that donkey was used to going 4 miles an hour. I bet she got 10 out of it that day, amen. Slack not thy riding for me. I know I'm a woman, but I'll ride that thing. Except I bid thee, unless I tell you to slow down. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel, 20 miles away. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off. And he said, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Now, is she lying? I don't think so. I don't think so. See, she has Elisha in sight now. She knows Elijah raised a dead boy just about 15 years earlier. She knows God can do anything. And I'm going to teach you some lessons, and I hope you got a Bible here in a moment, because I'm going to tell you what to do when something dies. I'm not talking about your dog. If your dog dies, bury him, amen? But if something in your life, if your dream, if your plans, if your relationship, if something dies, what to do? So she goes, she says, it is well. And that's, hey, what song do you remember? It is well with my soul. Amen. All right. So, where did I leave off there? It shall be well, and it is well. Verse 27, and when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. Now, Gehazi, he came near to thrust her away. He didn't know what was going on. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. What's vexed mean? Oh, man, hurt is a nice word for it. Vexed is close to the word cursed. She is busted up. She is completely overwhelmed by something. And he, and watch what he says. He says, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. I don't know what's going on here. Something is so dreadfully wrong. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? He puts two and two together. He doesn't have to hear the rest. He then says to Gehazi, gird up thy loins. You know what that means? Pick up your robe. Start running, dude. Gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. Don't stop for anybody. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. Look at what the mom says. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose, and underline these next two words, and followed her. This is a determined woman. This is one, and some of you are this way, and I'm proud of you. Some of you wanted a house, and you went after the county council. Some of you have gone after things. Some of you went after a husband. Some of you went after a wife. Gentlemen, you know what I'm talking about, where there's determination involved. And we need to learn how to be determined with God. She determined that this child is going to live again. And I like that. Amen? She did not take that child and say, I might as well bury him. You imagine how wrong it would have been for her to bury the child and then try to get Elisha to raise him from the dead. She said, I don't understand this, but this is a miracle baby. I read my Bible. And believe me, is there another place in the Bible where somebody was going to die and yet the father believed God's going to raise him up? Anybody remember that? A guy named Abraham. And God said, I want your son. I'm going to take him back. And Elijah and Abraham said, well, you gave him to me. You promised me that this was not just the first, that through this son I would have grandchildren galore. So he wants it back. I know he's going to give him back to me. You see, there's something about believing in life, not in death. You know, when I was saved in 1980, you know what all the record albums, we didn't have CDs back then. All the record albums, you know what all the covers of the record albums were? Skulls. Black. Death. Metallica was flame. You remember that? That was our culture. It was death. You know what that Bible is? Life. If you're sitting there swimming around with depression and discouragement, switch the TV off. It's death. 400 murders in an afternoon. 25 bedroom scenes. Car chases and crashes and train explosions and earthquakes. No wonder we're depressed. Amen. This book says you hit a wall somewhere. Believe in life. Believe in God. She's determined that child's going to live again. Secondly, she's determined to trust the Lord with all her heart. She knows he's dead, but she's going to trust the Lord. Isn't that a good thing? Is there a New Testament illustration where somebody died? And two ladies, two sisters of this man who died, had believed that Jesus could do anything if he had come in time and had kept him from dying. But once the man died, did they believe that Jesus could raise him from the dead? No. So when Jesus came there 4 days late, was he worried? But were they mad? Ooh, if you had not been here, my brother would not have died. They're mad. Jesus said, do you believe in the resurrection?
Oh, yeah, I believe in the resurrection.
Well, let me tell you, I am the resurrection. Amen. Isn't that sweet? She's determined. Listen, Lord, I know my eyes are telling me. I know my heart is telling me. I know my hands are telling me that kid is dead. But you're alive, and I'm going to trust you. I don't understand this thing, but I'm going to believe you. Amen. That's a good thing to determine, ladies. She does not despair. She does not give up. She does not get mad. She doesn't start blaming. Did you know she could have blamed her husband for working him too hard? It's your fault! You should have been watching him more carefully. Amen? She could have blamed herself for not waiting a little longer before letting him go out to the fields. Many a woman has destroyed their life out of blame and destroyed their husband and destroyed their kids because they can't realize God is bigger than our blame. As a matter of fact, let me make it real plain. He took the blame. When he died on the cross, he took the blame for every one of the mistakes and the stupidity of our lives. He took the blame. Don't hurt him anymore. She could have blamed herself for not doing more than just rocking him while he was faint. She thought he was going to live. But instead, she believes God. Oh, that women today believed God. The Apostle Paul in Acts 27, 25, in the midst of a deadly hurricane, the ship is falling apart. You know what? He came out of his little hammock and he says, guys, I just heard from heaven. I've just been praying and the Lord told me everything's going to be all right. And guys, let me just tell you, be of good cheer. I believe God. Now, the weather hadn't stopped. The rain hadn't stopped. The storm hadn't calmed. And he just said, it's going to be okay. You know what? As much determination as a mother has, and I have great respect for you, because sometimes men give up much faster than a woman does. Amen? But whatever determination you've got, would you learn to anchor it in God? Because that's what made this woman great. Not even the death of her son was going to stop her from watching God do something else bigger. If God could give her a child, he could give her back. Give it back. Amen? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. You know, it's great to have a good doctor. It's a whole lot better to have a saved doctor. Amen? Who, just before the operation, takes your hand and says, let's pray. Amen. We're going to get the great physician in on this now. Amen. Amen. She's determined, thirdly, to find Elisha. She remembers that God had used Elisha to give her that child. She put that lifeless body on his bed, not on her bed, not in a grave. She put it on his bed. And she informs her husband she's going to go find Elisha. Now, you got to get an idea. They had no cell phones, no GPS. In a big area like Israel was, where are you going to go looking? But I know something about women. They've got a radar. That way. Amen? Is the Bible right or not? She knew exactly where to go, not knowing where to go. Amen? She heads towards Carmel. And she says, I'm going to find this man. There's something wonderful about a determination. She says, I'm going to. And you know what? I wish you would desire to find the will of God like she did. I wish you would find God's word like she did. Where you said, you know what I need today? I don't need another cup of coffee. I don't need another phone call. I need God this morning. Amen. Yeah, determination. She determined to find Elisha. And she found him. Probably took her 2 to 3 hours to get there. I mean, in any direction, she could have gone 360 degrees. And she says, that one, that's where he'll be. Let me just say, she's determined to get Elisha back to her house to raise that boy back to life. Elisha decides to send a Gehazi to go and find out what's wrong. Is everything okay? Everything's fine, she says. Everything is, now that I see Elisha. And then Elisha finds out, and this is where Elisha has a problem. This great prophet has one little problem. He's a little cocky. He takes his staff and gives the Gehazi. He says, now take the staff and go raise the kid. You got to understand, this woman says, I don't want a staff. I don't want an idol. I don't want holy water. I don't want a scapular. I don't want nothing but you. Amen. And if we got a relationship with God, it was just like that. I don't want a sunny day. I don't want a husband. I don't want a paycheck. I need you, God. This woman had a determination because she needed Elisha. I really believe that she had more faith than Elisha did. Elisha, like I said, is flippantly sending Gehazi with his staff. Now, I want you to look here. Down there in verse 30. Verse 29, then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again. Lay my staff upon the face of the child. That'll do fine. And the mother said, no, it won't. As a soul liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. She's determined to get Elisha back. I like that. This woman, this is great. Great women don't give up. Amen? Amen. Great women know what needs to get done and they do it. This woman moved Elisha. She has taken the man of God and she said, you're coming with me, dude. And he went, yes, ma'am. Amen. He said, she knows something I don't know. Amen. Do you know some of you gentlemen, I'm with you. I'm with you. Our wives are 10 times more spiritual than we are. And they go, have you thought about this thing? I know you want to do that, but I'm not so sure. Ah, oh, no, I'm fine. I think this will be great. She goes, you better listen to her. Amen. Amen. You better listen to her. Sometimes we're so stubborn. We call our wife stubborn. But we are so stubborn, we think, oh, she doesn't know anything. She's got that radar going. Oh, there's something's coming in. There's something on the radar. Don't do it. Amen. Amen. She had more faith in Elisha. I like that. Amen. It's a characteristic of a great mother. Two more thoughts. She was great because of her God. Look at verse 31. And Gehazi, he's doing what he's told. He passed on before them. He runs ahead and he laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. He didn't hear anything coming back. Wherefore, he runs back to meet him and he told him, saying, the child is not awake. I can't get him up. It didn't work. And when Elisha was come in unto the house, behold, the child was what? He really was dead. And he was laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain. He just closed the door upon both of them. And he prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child. And put his mouth upon his mouth. And his eyes upon his eyes. And his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child. And the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. Stop there for a second. Just notice what he's doing. Her eyes had told her son was dead. Gehazi had told her that her son was dead. Elisha had found out, yeah, this boy's dead. Amen. It has been confirmed. But God is greater than death. God steps in the situation now and teaches us how to trust him when things are dead. Listen, what to do when something is dead? Number one, do you see that Elisha got alone? Do you see that Elisha said, I need to close the door, me and my problem and God? And you need to do the same thing. You need to quit verbalizing all your problems. You may need to talk to somebody, but have you talked to God? Have you closed the door? What does Jesus call it? A closet. Amen. Where it's just you and God. You know what you can do in a closet? You can cry. You can get upset. Amen. Amen. Nobody else hear you. Just get it all out. Amen. God can take it. Amen. Get alone with God. Secondly, you need to do, you need to pray like you've never prayed before. You need something called earnest prayer. Take your Bible, turn to Luke 22. You're in 2 Kings, go to Luke 22. Earnest prayer. He's not praying a simple prayer. He's not praying a memorized prayer. He is in earnest prayer. Let me show you Luke 22 and verse 44. In being in an agony, this is speaking of Jesus, he prayed more what? Prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Is he praying? He's praying like you and I have never prayed. Earnest prayers like that. I've said it before, no man learns to pray until he has to. And this Elisha has prayed before. Things have just happened before. But he says, it ain't happened now. I better pray. I can't use the past. I can't just do what I've always done. I'm going to have to get alone with God. And I'm going to have to pray. And maybe, can I make something real clear? Maybe the problem you're going through is to get you to pray. Amen. Maybe the death of a relationship. Maybe the death of a dream. Maybe a disaster in your life is not a disaster. Maybe it's a pull to get you down, humbled before God, where it's just you and him and your problem. And you begin to wrestle with God in prayer. And I believe Elisha's wrestling with God. Verse 34 is cute. Back there in 2 Kings, he went up, he lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes. You know what he's doing? Mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I want you to understand, long before they developed CPR, he's doing it. He, in his weight, he's laying on that child. He's compressing the chest and then getting up. He's blowing into that mouth and he's looking in those eyes, seeing if there's any twitch. That's what doctors do today. You ever see them? They open up the eye, they shine that light in there to see if there's any response. He didn't know. Elisha didn't know what to do. And he just does everything. And God says, that'll work. That'll work. You ever try to figure out what to do? And you don't know what to do? Let me just tell you, just do everything. God's not looking for perfect people who know what to do. He just wants to use us in motion. Amen? You're going to make some stupid mistakes. If you ever go soul winning, if you come out next Saturday and you say, I want to talk, I want to get the gospel out, and you knock on the door and you say the most weirdest stuff. Comes out of your mouth. Words are all backwards and you're shaking, your knees are knocking, and you just fluttle all over. God will still use it. Amen? Amen. Just do everything. Amen? Amen. He tries everything. That flesh started, look at the end of verse 34. I love how it says it. And the flesh of the child waxed warm, became warm. Verse 35, then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. We'll go ahead and read it because I'll come to it. And the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. Let me just say, if you ever pray, you know what our biggest sin is? Kevin, you know what our biggest sin is when we pray? Yeah, we don't believe God's going to answer. I love how in Acts chapter 12, Peter's in prison. He's going to have his head cut off in the morning. And they're there praying, oh God, please deliver Peter. God, please, please don't let Peter die. God, who's that at the door? Go get the door, Rhoda. Oh God, please protect Peter. We need Peter. We need him to preach. Ah! You hear a scream at the door. She slams the door. She comes back. She says, you'll never believe it. What? It's Peter at the door. Nah. Dear God, please help Peter and help Rhoda not see visions anymore. We're like that. We pray, but we don't believe. Amen? Do you know why some people will pray the sinner's prayer and not get saved? Because they don't believe it works. Amen? Amen? That's powerful. Do you know why we pray and God doesn't answer our prayer? Because we don't believe. Elisha's looking for life. When he opens up those eyes, he's expecting something's going to happen. When he starts to feel, because he's compressing that chest and the blood is being circled around and he's breathing into that body, the blood circulating through the body is making those veins in those arms warm again. And he's looking for life. Would you believe God next time you pray about anything? The car doesn't work. There's no money to pay the bill. The cat died. Thank God. You just hit a wall in your life and you don't know where to turn and you start to pray, would you believe and look for an answer? Amen? Would you do that, ladies? We need some women who will believe God. And don't stop until you see seated there. In verse 35, he gets up. He's tried it. Nothing's happened yet. He gets up. He walks around. He's still praying and he's saying, I don't know what to do. I'll try it again. And he tries until that kid sneezes. And this is wild. We'll go about the sneeze in a second. But I want you to see, you've got somebody who's unsaved and you've witnessed to them. You've got somebody that you've talked to. You've got somebody that you know is a wayward son or a wayward daughter. You have somebody that is on your heart constantly and it breaks your heart. Let me tell you, keep working on them. And believe God and expect something to happen because God's in control. Listen, why is she great? Because of her prayer. Is Elisha great because he's a great man of faith, or is it not God doing it? Amen? If there's anything good in your life, it's because of God. End of story. If any miracle happens, it won't be because I came in and laid hands on you. Amen? It's because God came in and blessed your life. Don't stop until you succeeded. Never, brother, when are we going to stop soul winning? At the rapture. Amen? Some of those people we've already talked to. Talk to them again. Because we don't stop until we've succeeded. Amen? Last point, expect the unusual. This is really a kind of a cute thought. We're dealing with the impossible, so you might as well expect the unusual. I think Elisha is probably at that point, he's just gotten up and he's walking around and the child sneezes. I guarantee you, Elisha jumps 10 feet. You go into a mortuary and one of those people sit up. You will fly. Amen? Expect the unusual. Amen? This kid doesn't just sneeze once. He sneezes 7 times. Can you imagine him going, as you. What is he doing? Air. Going in that body. Every part of his body is contorting. And the life, all that is shaking off death. God, when that kid is sneezing, that kid's going to live again. And those sneezes, that's the sure sign of life. He's not twitching. Amen? Some of us don't even do that. But you know, when you sneeze, every part of your body is in action. Amen? Heard about the kid who asked his dad, "Dad, why do our eyes close when we sneeze?" He says, "Because if you didn't, your eyes would pop out." It is a violent force, is it not? Amen. Expect the unusual. Then this kid sits up, he blinks his eyes, looks around, and he wonders, what happened? I love it. I love it. God is so cool. He opened his eyes. Let me just finish up here. God made this woman great simply because she trusted him, waited on him, and expected only from God. What do you think the woman's doing just outside the door? Huh? Kind of like the old-time delivery room situations. The husband's outside. He hasn't a clue what's going on. He hears his wife scream. And he's like, man, and I wonder how she is. I wonder if it's a boy or a girl. I wonder if our team's going to win tomorrow. You know, you know how guys are, amen? And she is outside that room, and I believe she's praying with all her might. Would you agree? I believe she's crying out to God. I believe she's wrestling with Elisha. Amen. In Psalm 62:5, take your Bible, turn to there. Let me show you some of the scriptures. I got lots of scriptures, but I'll just show you these real quick. Psalm 62, verse 5. Boy, I missed preaching. I'm glad to be back. Amen. Psalm 62, verse 5. Here's David. My soul, he's talking to himself. Wait thou only upon who? Wait only upon God, Craig. For my expectation is from Him. That's a good verse to write down. That's a good verse to memorize, ladies, as a mom. Because sometimes you're expecting things of your kids, you're expecting of your husband, and you should. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes when they let you down, you go down. True? But if your expectation only is from God, He ain't never going to let you down. Amen? Is that texting enough for you, Celine? You missed it. Every good thing in our life, every miracle is only because God stepped into our life. Amen? You got saved not because you found God. You got saved because God found you. Amen? Last point. She was great because she got what she wanted. Look, the end of verse 35. So we've got this kid. The child opened his eyes, verse 36, and he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in, I believe she bolted in, fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and then took up her son and went out. You know what I found out? A great woman is great because she gets what she wants. And I'm applying that in the spiritual realm, okay? This woman did not want a bigger house. She didn't want a better husband. I know it depresses some of you. I'm sorry. She didn't want praise. She didn't want anything in this life. What she wanted were some real treasures. What were the real treasures? She wanted her son back. Amen? And there are plenty of us. There are plenty of people who struggle and say, "I want my son back. I want my dream back. I want that sweetness back that used to be in my life. I want the softness. I want that first love back." And you're wondering, where is it? You know what? When you start to value those things, when you start to value treasures in heaven, when you start valuing the Spirit of God, not the flesh of this world, when you start to value those things, God says, let's dump a load on her. Amen. Let's just bless that girl. She wanted God to get all the glory. She thanked the man of God. But I think she thanked God. Amen. I bet you she just couldn't lick, holding up that boy and say, "Praise God! Woo! Praise God!" Now her husband's still out there working. And he hears all the screaming and the shouting and the praising God. And I bet he came home for a good story that night. Amen? Wow. She wanted to raise a son to trust the Lord as much as she did, I believe. Amen. You know what's great? When you walk with God and you know God and you have found God to always be faithful, you know what you want to do? You want your kids to do it too. Those are the things she treasured. She wanted a family. Do you know what? She got it all. She got everything that mattered. A great woman gets what she wants. You know what Hannah wanted? A son. You know what the widow woman in Luke 18 wanted? She said to an unjust and unfair and ungodly judge, she said, avenge me on my adversary. You know what the judge said? Go away. Too busy for you. You don't have any money. You can't get a lawyer. I won't deal with you without a lawyer. And the next morning she was there at the courthouse. First in, she marched right up to that thing and says, fix my problem. Avenge me on my adversary. He said, take this woman out of this court. You don't have a solicitor. I don't want to listen to you. Get out of my court. The next morning, she's in the window. I told you, I'm not going anywhere. I need you to do something about my problem. Get that woman out of that window. I'm not dealing with you, woman. Day after day after day after day, night after night, she found out where he lived. You read it there in Luke 18. She'd sit outside and she'd throw rocks into the window. You're going to help me. I'm not leaving. Call the guard. Get this woman off of my property. I don't want her near her house. You know what God said? That unjust judge, as ungodly as he was, he said, I better help that woman or else she's going to wear me out. I don't get any sleep. I can't do the caseload. My mind's going crazy. Woman, get over here. What's your problem? And the Lord says, now I use an extreme, but shall not God. Shall not God who hears the lowest cry of his people, shall not God avenge and help out his people? Don't give up. Get what you want, ladies. Amen? Start going after what is important in the life. Don't believe what the magazines are saying to get. Don't believe what the catwalks are saying to get. Don't believe what Oprah Winfrey is saying. Don't believe what your mother is saying. Believe what God says is important and go after it and get it. Because it'll make you great. It'll make you great. When you start letting those desires, those dreams, those things you thought that were dead, those things that were impossible, that you say, I'm going to believe God again. And I'm not going to believe God. I'm going to go for him until I get him. Amen? Amen? Plenty of you ladies know how to get what you want. But you've never directed your efforts in prayer towards God for some really big things. You need to pray. You need to believe God for some big things. We need some great women today. We've learned a lot about this woman. She was unnamed, but she was called great by God. She is a great example of real greatness. We need great mothers. Why was this woman called great? Because of her kindness. You know, ladies, let me just tell you, what makes you great in our church is your kindness. Some of us guys, you have eyes on the back of your head. Us guys don't even have eyes in the front of our head. We are unaware of people's needs, amen? It's nice when the women in our church have compassion and are aware of needs and they are kind, amen? Don't lose that. Don't let anybody rob you of that kindness. Because that's part of what makes you great. The second thing is because of her desire. Some of you ladies, probably all of you, have secret desires that you wish, but you're a little afraid to believe God for. Let me tell you, believe God. I don't care how impossible it is, believe God. Believe God for that husband of yours. Believe God for that wayward son, that wayward daughter. Believe God for that problem that you're in. Believe God. I don't mean you just sit back in your rocking chair and grow old waiting on God to do something. You're going to have to try to do everything. But believe God to do what is termed impossible. Have some faith. Start getting in that book and going, my expectation is from thee. I will only hope in you. And you know what the Bible says? Hope makes not ashamed. You'll never be ashamed of having some real hope, folks. Get some determination. And watch God work. You're only going to be great. Anybody who comes in here and has an answer to prayer, you know the only thing you can say? God did it. You're not going to come in and say, I prayed for 16 hours. You know what you'll say? I was surprised. I kind of believed God, but I kind of didn't, and he's still blessed anyway. That's God, amen? And because she got what she wanted. It all begins by the new life, folks. It's called new birth. You know what? Every one of these great people in the Bible, you get Hannah, you get Elisha, you get Peter, anybody that's great in the Bible. It was great because they had a relationship with God. It was not a religious experience. It wasn't because they went to the temple or went to the church and they went through the motions. It was because their life crossed with Jesus Christ and they had to make a choice. Will I follow him or not? You see, just like the cross, we go one direction, Christ is going another. You have to choose. This is where I'm going. He's going to end up in hell, amen? But he's going another direction. I now follow him. That is salvation. That is when your whole life changes and you say, I need him. I've lived independent of God. I thought I could live without God. I say my token prayers. But he wants a relationship. And for the first time in my life, I am choosing to follow him. That is where it begins. No mother, no matter how devoted she may be, no matter how sacrificial she may be, no one is more important than Jesus. And no mother can live without Jesus. If you're not born again this morning, today would be the best day to get saved. Today would be the greatest day of your life. To start on a whole new road where you say, you know what? I'm tired. I'm worn out. I beat my head against the wall trying to carry this family, trying to carry this load, and I've been doing it alone. I need some help. And I want to get God. I'm going to get alone and ask God to save this wretched soul of mine and make me his child. That's all you have to pray. God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me because I need you. He seeks to save you from your sins, make you his child, and fill you with his Holy Spirit. I'm not telling you won't have the problems. I'm not telling you won't have something right in your lap. Die. I'm not going to tell you that God's going to keep you from all of the pitfalls and all of the heartaches. No, no, no. But I'm going to tell you this. God will never leave you or forsake you. And he's there and he just waits for you to mean business with him. But it starts with a relationship. Too many people pray to God and they don't know him. Do you know him? Let's stand, let's bow in prayer. Let me give you a real simple illustration. A child has become rebellious and has left home. He's living his own way, living his own life, and is bringing great dishonor and great pain to the family. And all you pray for and all you yearn for is for him to humble himself and to come home. And you beg God and you sit and you worry and you are broken. And let me tell you, you wait on that son to make a decision to come home. Let me tell you, I wonder if God's waiting for you to come home. I wonder if you are the wayward son or daughter. I wonder if God will bring that person home. God will resurrect that dead dream. If only you got back home. If only you got born again. You see, sometimes things work kind of like a cascade. Where when we get right, all of a sudden, everything starts getting right. Don't be, and watch the devil just interrupt. Don't pay attention to him. Don't be in the way of God. If you need to get right with God today as a mom, why don't you get some? And I believe plenty of moms in here hurt and ache, and I know you would instantly start going over in your life. Let me tell you, don't be too hard on yourself. I'm not telling you you're the problem, but I want to tell you, believe God once again. And gentlemen, we got a lot to learn from our wives. We've got a lot to do to help and encourage her to be a great mom. But make sure we're all home. Amen. Father, we bow and we humble ourselves. Lord, there are plenty of things that are kind of, I could compare this son to anything. But the first thing is, he is us. We're born dead in trespasses and sins. We're away from God. We're without hope. We're without Christ. We are going to die physically and end up in hell. Unless a miracle takes place. Unless somebody cares. And I'm glad, Lord, that somebody works to get people out to church. Somebody begs and compels, come, please hear the gospel. Because that's what this woman did. She said, my son needs to be made alive again. And somebody, Lord, in this room, maybe several, are just like that son. They cannot fix themselves. They cannot save themselves. They need a miracle from you. All they need to do is cry out and say, God, do it to me. You are the resurrection. You are the life. You are come to give life. I have physical life, but I need eternal life. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If there's somebody in this room who's not born again, I beg you, Holy Spirit, please convict them. Draw them to Jesus Christ. I mean, they cry out in simple words. There's no fancy words. It's just simple words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me. I see my path is going a whole different direction than Christ. I'll follow Jesus now. I'll trust Him all the way to heaven. And for the moms and dads in here and sons and daughters, Lord, we've got a lot to learn from this great woman. It all comes, what is really valuable? Is that job, is that position really all that important? Or is our home really important? Are we willing to fight for our home and for things that are valuable, like our children, like our relationships? Are we willing to fight for it? Are we willing to dream once again? Please help everyone in this room make a decision today. This is a great day to get saved, to get right, to get excited, get close to you, Lord. I know you're willing and so wanting to get close to us. I love you, Lord. I pray that we all do. In Jesus' name, amen.